Father, we are grateful and thankful for today. Thank you for the opportunity we have today to be here. We ask that your will be done, your grace will be sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Change the version. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. Now, I want you to know that God has given you a ministry.
Amen.
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 God has given you a ministry. Working for God is called ministry. When you say ministry, it means working for God. Working for God is called ministry. Amen.
Amen.
And God has given every one of us here a ministry, something to do for him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's Pastor Barbara, it's good to see you. So, I want every one of you here to know that you have been given a ministry, a place in the house of God or in the kingdom of God to work for him, to do something for him. Everybody here. Amen.
Amen.
And God wants you to carry out the ministry that has been given to you. You see, working for God is an opportunity. It's just an opportunity for you to become profitable and useful to God. Because you can come into the world and be unuseful or never be useful to God. You may be useful to the world. Like the way the Israelites were used to build Pithoms and Ramses. They built the cities of Egypt. And they really worked very hard. Bible said they were made to serve with rigor. They made them to serve and to work hard. And they never rewarded them with anything apart from some garlic and cucumber and some food for them to have strength to be used more. Do you see? And really, that is how the world is. Without serving God, you'll be made to serve with rigor, to work very hard, only for your stomach. Only for your stomach. Just to eat, to drink, have a place to stay, be paying bills, and then one day you drop off and you are dead. Now that's a lower form of living. Because animals also do that. And there's not much difference between us and animals, except in our purpose and our usefulness to God. Yes. Because animals are also, they wake up, they sleep, they wake up, they have sex, they have children. Yes, they eat, they drink, and they sleep, and they move around. They work also. Yes, walking around to find food. Just like you also work to get money to buy food. So it's like there's not much difference. And they die, and then we also die. Do you see? But when we die, there's life after death. But when they die, it's the end of it. Do you see? And then when you're a Christian, and then you die, you are not just dying to make it to heaven, but you are dying to also go and prove to God that since he brought you into the world, do you see, you didn't come to waste your life on earth, and that you came to fulfill the intent or the purpose for which God brought you into the world. Because you nobody is here by an accident. No. You can never say that you are here by mistake. I mean, if you have ever watched a documentary on how they are formed and how they are born, I tell you, one day I watched, because my wife was pregnant and I was interested to know what was going on in the belly. Yes, I got a video of how babies form, how they grow every day, every month until they come out. And I was amazed. And I said, no. From that day, I said that, look, it can never be that I came into the world accidentally. No. And that is what God said to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 7, Jeremiah said unto God, Lord, King James, but the Lord said unto me, I am not a child. Hey, what is that? But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child. Because God had called Jeremiah and said, oh, me, I'm a little boy. I'm a child. I mean, who will listen to me? And God said, don't say you are a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Do you see? But in verse 4, Bible says, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb. Before I formed thee in thy mother's belly, and before you came forth out of her womb, I had ordained thee. Say ordination. First of all, he said, I have sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. Sanctify means to be separated apart, to be set apart. He said, I set you apart. You were about 300 million people in a race. Everybody wanted to come into the world. And you was set apart. You made it. And everybody else was rejected. And you made it. I sanctified thee. I set you apart. You see, and ordained thee for a purpose, to be a prophet to the nation. So nobody here is accidental. You came into the world by an accident. Even if your mother didn't intend to conceive you. Do you see? Maybe the condom got torn. Or she didn't calculate her ovulation period well. Do you see? Yes. I remember when my wife became pregnant the first time. I said, how can that happen? Because we're doing everything never to be pregnant at this very moment of our lives. Do you see? Because we married, no, after 1 month she was pregnant. Yes. And then when we investigated, we realized that, she didn't do some calculations well. But you see, it was God's intention that you should make some mistakes in the calculations so that this particular child will come into the world in such a time as that. Amen. Yes, my mother told me that she was a student in a nursing school when she became pregnant. Yes. And when they did the calculations of when I will come, she was going to write her final exams. So her roommate and her friends told her to terminate, to abort me, and that is going to affect her. You know, and said they put pressure on her, but she said, no, she will not. Do you see? Yes, so it was God's plan. That, look, I'm not a mistake. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. So, I want you to believe that you are never a mistake. Yes. And there's something more higher to God about you. God has a higher plan, a higher intention about your life and everything you are going to become. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why we are here, because I'm here to encourage you that God has something bigger, something higher, do you see, for you. You are special to God. You are a very special person to God. Yes. And that's why when Jeremiah was making excuses, God said, don't say that. You have no idea. You have no idea what you are talking about. That even before I formed you in the belly, I knew you.
Wow.
Yes, you existed before you were even formed. I knew you. I had my plans. No, this is what makes God God. Yeah, this is what makes God God. God knew you long before. Yes, long before. Everybody here, you were specially crafted by God.
Wow.
Designed you. God designed you and put you in your mother's belly. Yes, and before you came out, he had plans, advanced plans. But the problem is that many people never grow to this to know what God wants them to do or become. Listen, you may be a doctor, you may be a lawyer, you may be a manager, you may be whatever, a carpenter and all that. You see, those things are your earthly callings.
Wow.
Yes. But there's a heavenly calling.
Hey.
Yes, there's a heavenly calling. Paul said to Agrippa, for we were not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Heavenly vision.
Wow.
In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Hebrews 3 verse 1. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Say, heavenly calling.
Heavenly calling. Yeah.
So if you have heavenly calling, then we also have what? Earthly calling.
Hey.
Yes, earthly calling. Now, earthly calling is what you are doing on earth here.
Wow.
What has been decided for you, or what you have decided to do whilst you're on earth here. The choice you have made. To be a lawyer, to be a manager, to be a businessman. That's your earthly calling. Do you understand?
Yes.
But your heavenly calling is what God intended for you.
Wow.
Before you were even born. Is that this is the reason why. Like Jesus, the angel came to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and said that, listen, you are blessed amongst women all. You are blessed. You are highly favored and blessed amongst women. And then he asked the angel, why are you saying what you are saying? He said, because you are going to carry a child. And that child shall be the savior of the world.
Wow.
That's his heavenly calling.
Wow.
Yes. That's why he said that. Go back to Hebrews chapter 3 verse. Is that Hebrews 3 verse 1 quickly. He said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle of our profession. The apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So when Jesus came into the world, he had an earthly calling. He was a carpenter.
Hey.
Do you see?
Yes.
But a time came in his life, he said, listen, it can never be that me. Me, Emmanuel Jesus.
Yeah.
It can never be that I'm coming to just be on this earth and be repairing people's chairs and cabinets and tables, and then one day I'll just die and go.
Yeah.
God forbid.
God forbid.
A time came, he said, no. I must respond to the heavenly calling. I must go back and find out what God wants me to do. And he prepared himself for that.
Yeah.
And when he sensed in the spirit that it was time to fulfill his heavenly calling, he went to the church and announced his presence to the whole congregation, that the spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted,
wow,
to bring deliverance to the captive,
wow,
to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. And then he looked at them and said, from today, this scripture will be fulfilled.
Yes.
Yes, You will never see me as a carpenter again. Yes. And the people were offended because I tell you, you're a carpenter who have been coming to church every now and then. Suddenly, look at what you are saying. Yes. So, all of you here, do you see, must know that there is a calling that is from heaven. Yeah, there's a calling that is from heaven. Yes. That's why Jesus said that as a serious Christian who wants to pray effective prayers, one of the prayers you must pray is that, Lord, whatever is written concerning me in heaven, that is what I wanted to happen on earth. Yes. Yes, in the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He said, I want what is written in heaven about me. And do you think that what was written in heaven about Jesus was to be a carpenter? The angel had already come to even told, he told, she came and told, he came and told Mary that this boy, this child, what is written in heaven is that he's going to be the savior of the world. The savior of the world. Amen.
Amen.
So, even though we have earthly callings and we are doing different things, I want you to know that you have a ministry from heaven.
Amen.
Yes, and that's what will make you valuable and make you profitable unto God.
Amen.
Yes, any other earthly calling is just to help us to survive and operate like the way animals operate, to find food to eat, to give birth to whatever and all that. But your real identity is in God. Is in your service to God.
Amen.
Yes. And that is how come when you become born again, suddenly you are introduced into your heavenly calling.
Wow.
Yes. In second, sit down. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay? All things are what? Passed away. Your old life, including your old sins and your past sins, they are all passed away. Are you excited about that?
Yes.
You know, sometimes we feel so bad about our old lives and our past sins that even though God has forgiven us, but you're always confessing. Do you see? One day I watch a video of a certain sister. You know, she has some abortions and she felt so bad about it. So even after she became born again, for years she was always talking to God about what she did. All the time. She would come to church and she would be crying. So, in the service, I think in Cape Town, I've forgotten the place, but Benahim was the one preaching. And I think God gave a word to Benahim for this lady. So he called the lady and said, the Lord said I should tell you that your sin, it's not what you did many years ago. Your sin is the fact that you don't believe that I've forgiven you. Yes. You don't believe that if you shall confess your sins unto me, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said, that is the sin you are committing. That you don't believe. So 9 million times you are always asking me to forgive you. But I said, I've forgiven you long time ago. As far as the east is from the west, so has the Lord blotted away our transgressions. Amen.
Amen.
So those of you who are always feeling bad because of a mistake you made 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and you keep talking about it, please, Be very careful. Believe that God has forgiven you. And God has really forgiven us. Oh, yes. God has really forgiven us. So you got to move on. Amen.
Amen.
And learn from the past and never repeat the past. So if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away and all things are become new. Now, it doesn't end there. After you have become born again and your sins have been forgiven, you're now a new creature. The Bible says in verse 18, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. Amen.
Amen.
And has given to us a ministry. Say, a ministry.
A ministry.
Say, I have a ministry.
I have a ministry.
And it's called the ministry of reconciliation. Yes. You see, God's ministry is about people. Yes. And God's purpose has always been about people. It has never been about animals. God's purpose has always been about human beings from Genesis to Revelation. His purpose has always been about people. Anybody he called concerning human beings. Yes. When he called Adam and then brought in Eve, the call was that they should give birth and multiply and fill the earth. It's about human beings. Do you see? Yes, and it continued like that to Moses. Also, God called him. It was about the people. Go to Egypt and set my people free that they may serve me. You see? And it's continued like that unto Jesus. The angel said he shall be the savior of his people. He shall save his people from sin. So the ministry of Jesus is the ministry, or the ministry of God is the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling men is about men, bringing men together to be at peace with God. That is our ministry. Yes. So when Paul told Timothy that you must make full proof of your ministry, do you see? He's talking about the ministry of reconciliation, the ministry of bringing people, and that's the church. That's the work of the church. The church exists to reconcile people back unto God. Because when man sinned, we became rebellious to God. We became separated from God. Sin separated us from God. And God has all the intention of bringing us back to himself. Yes, bringing us back to himself. And he has made several attempts from the days of Adam and Eve, when they sinned and rebelled and the separation took place, he's found different ways to bring man back to himself until Jesus Christ came as the last Messiah to make that possible forever.
Amen.
Yes. So he has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Yes. Before he was trying to do it by the blood of bulls and cows and all those things. And it was not working. Because he realized that, Charlie, my people are really struggling. Because by now, as you came here, you'd be carrying 20 bulls, pulling 20 bulls and 20 cows for Bishop Steve to make some sacrifices unto God before you accepted. Yes. Some of you would have been coming with 200 bulls. Because your sins are plenty. Change the version. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Yes, he has given us a task. That's the ministry. Reconciling people to him. And you meet somebody who has rebelled the sin of Eve and Adam is in that person. The person says, I don't want God. I won't go to church. I won't pray to God. Then you come in and say, no, You can't do that. It's wrong. You are going to destroy your life. You'll be separated to eternal damnation. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And this is the son of God. He loves you. He came into the world. You are reconciled. You are talking. You are negotiating. You are appealing. You are making, you know, appealing to his conscience and for him to make a decision and say that, no, I don't want to be an enemy of God. I can make peace with God. That's the task God has given to us. Yes. Reconciling. Maybe give us definition of reconciling so that you understand it better. I'm trying to explain to you your ministry. Yes, your ministry. That you have a ministry. It's a heavenly calling. It's not a calling from the earth. It's a heavenly calling. God is the one who has given us. Amen. So even though you may be a carpenter, remember that you also have a heavenly calling. Yeah. So actually you have two types of calling. The heavenly calling and the earthly calling. And here we are. I'm here to encourage you to respond to the heavenly calling. Yes. Paul was a tent maker. He was a businessman. But he said to Agrippa that, look, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. As much as I was a businessman, I'm a businessman. I also have a calling that is from heaven. Mr. Screenman, hello.
Hello.
Are you going to give us definition? Oh, if you have it, you can read it for me. Okay. Restore. Reconcile means restore friendly relations between two people. Yes. Restore friendly relations between two people. Yes. Restore friendly relationship. Relations, because God and man, there was a problem. There was a separation. There was an issue of disobedience and rebellion, and it separated us from God. Do you see? Yes, it separated. But in Isaiah, it said that your sins have separated you from your God. Yes, your sins have separated you from God. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Do you get it?
Yeah.
So anybody who is not saved, who is not born again, that you know, this is the condition between the person and God. Yes, so there's a separation. There's separation. They are not friends. That's what the Bible says, that if you love the world, then you become an enmity to God. Do you see?
Yeah.
Yes. Loving the world is an enmity. James 4 verse 4. He says that whosoever therefore be friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whosoever. So worldly people, unbelievers, atheists, pagans, they are all enemies to God.
My goodness.
So your ministry, my ministry, is to come and make peace and restore this relationship. Go back to the definition. Do you understand? Do you understand your task?
Yes.
Yes, to restore friendly between those people and God. To restore. Because it's like Israel and Iran. Or Israel and the Palestine. That's why we have the UN. The UN is the Ministry of Reconciliation. Which they have always been failing. It's not been working because the real UN job, we have it. We have the real UN job. Yes. Yes. We have the real UN job.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So, that is the ministry. And so, our theme for this camp is how to make foolproof. In other words, how to fulfill this ministry. Yes, how to make foolproof is that your ability to let this ministry really function in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. It's very important. Very, very important. So that your life will count. You will not just exist, but you'll be a real minister of reconciliation,
wow,
restoring and bringing people back unto God. Amen.
Amen.
Go back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. So, then now verse 19. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, in reconciliation efforts, there's always agreement. Do you see? On the table. The Israelites will write here whatever they want. They want hostages to be released. And then the Palestinians will also say that, okay, if you are going to release 5 hostages, we want our people who have become prisoners of war, 100 of them, to also come.
Yeah.
And so there's a word. There's always a word involved in reconciliation. And God has entrusted us with the word of reconciliation. Yes. It is that word that you received that you to have to be at peace with God. That word. Yes. I remember when I heard that word of reconciliation. I was in church. I stood up. I was crying. I was weeping. And I apologized to God. I said, God, I'm sorry. I've not treated you well. I've been a bad person. You have loved me, but I have not loved you. You have cared for me. I have not cared for you. Even in my sinful behavior and activity, you still like me. You still love me. I'm sorry. And that's how we became born again. We're committed unto the word of reconciliation.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Then now he even explains further your work. Verse 20. He says, for now then. Say now then.
Now then.
We are ambassadors for Christ. We are what?
Ambassadors,
ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Amen.
Amen.
Who is an ambassador? Give us a definition for who an ambassador is. Ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ. Are you excited that you are ambassadors for Christ?
Yes.
Yes. I'm not an ambassador for the UK. It's a lower job.
It's a lower job.
I'm not an ambassador for America. It's a very low job.
It's a low job.
I'm an ambassador of the one who created the whole world. I represent him on earth. Yes. I'm not a small man.
You're not a small man.
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm a big man. Amen.
Amen.
So, one day, one of our pastors, okay, ambassador, an accredited diplomat sent by a state as a permanent representative. Accredited diplomat sent by a state. We are sent by the state of heaven as a permanent representative on earth. We represent God on earth. I say you represent God on earth. That's who you are. Yes. Accredited by God. By judicial decision, executive decision. Yes. Permanent representative. A promoter of a specified activity. Yes, specified activity. We promote reconciliation, reconciling men unto God. Yes. You know, one of our pastors, he was flying and you know, the air hostess came to him and said, oh, sir, what do you do? As you know, he was friendly with the air hostess. So, what do you do? So, I'm a minister. So, minister, wow. I'm privileged to meet you. You know? So, later, as he was in an economy class. Then he was there, the lady came, Mr. Minister, I want to upgrade you to the business class. He said, thank you. And he went and sat and enjoyed the business class treatment. Yes. Now, when the plane landed and they were just exiting the plane, the lady came. Mr. Minister, it's an honor having you.
Wow.
I said, oh, thank you for, you know, upgrading me to business class. And the lady said, by the way, you are a minister of what? He said, I'm a minister of the gospel. Suddenly, the lady's countenance fell. Yeah. It was lucky that the lady didn't ask that question earlier. But yes, the minister of the gospel is higher than any other form of ministerial work or ministry work. I'm telling you. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So, highly honored us. That's why Paul said that no man taketh this honor unto himself except he that is called of God. It's a great honor. Yes, Hebrews 5:4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself but he that is called of God. If you are called of God, you have been highly honored. Yes. Highly honored. Amen.
Amen.
In fact, being saved alone is a very wonderful thing that God has done for us. But you see, he doesn't just save you. He saves you and he calls you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 says that he who have saved us and called us. Amen. There is nothing like salvation without a call. There's nothing like salvation without a call. There is nothing like salvation without a call. If you are saved, you are called. Ask your neighbor, are you saved? Then you are called. Yes. So you see, Paul was telling Timothy that, listen, he who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That word holy calling, special calling, which also means heavenly calling. It's not an earthly calling. It's a heavenly calling. It comes from heaven. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. And what is that purpose? The ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile men unto God. That's the purpose. The purpose of God is always about men. Never forget. The purpose of God is always about men. Whatever God will call you to do is towards men. Reconciliation, reconciling men, making men be at peace with God. According to his own purpose and grace. Say grace.
Grace.
Yes. God always attaches grace to his purpose. That's why you should never be afraid to follow the purpose of God, because there is grace available. God will never tell you to do something he has not provided the means of it. Never. Amen.
Amen.
He always provides grace. Grace, help. If he's sending you to a place, he has already made a way for you. Yes. All the helpers you will need, all the support you will need is already waiting for you.
Wow.
Yes, I'm going to Mozambique. I didn't know anybody, but he had prepared people for me. Yes. I met a woman who helped me, found a place for me, went and did shopping, came and staffed my kitchen with food. Yes. I mean, he has already made a way for you. Yes, that's the purpose. It comes with grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before what? The world began. So you were called long time ago. Even the world, before the world began. That's why I say you can never be an accident. Never. Never, ever, 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 ever. At all. Long before the world began. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. And that's what I'm telling you today, that he saved you and has also called you. Not according to your own purpose. Or your own works. It has nothing to do with your works or what you are doing on earth here. It's about the heavenly vision, the heavenly plans and the heavenly purposes of God concerning your life. That's the reason for your being here. And God gives us a long span. It's like a long time for us to one day discover and come to that realization that, listen, I must let my life count. I must not just live my life the way I'm living. I mean, you think about it. You think that God brought you into the world to make more money and build more houses. No. Let's take it that they have given you all the houses in UK. It is for you. What are you going to do with it? All the houses in the UK is for you. Every car in the country is for you. All the money is in the bank. Bank of England, it is for you. What are you going to do with it? No, ask your neighbor, what would you do with it? Including all the private jets. They are for you. What are you going to do with it? And all designer shops are for you. What are you going to do with it? So that's why Jesus said that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he possesses. That's not life. Yes. That's not life. When you're an unbeliever, you think that that's all you need. But when they are even giving to you, you say that it's wahala. Do you know the meaning of wahala? Yes. It's a Latin word. It means it's a problem. It's a problem. Yes.
It's a wahala.
Yes. What are you going to do with it? Amen.
Amen.
How many shoes can you wear? How many wigs can you wear? So that is why, as you become wiser in God, you see that you are not your possession. It's not. You at a point you see that it's a problem. Yes. Sometimes I go into my wife's wardrobe and I pack the things and I'll tell her I'm going to dash it to people because there are plenty and there are some things she has never used for years. They are all there and they are occupying space. Now carry them and go and give it to people. Now tell her, I'll buy you new ones, okay? Yes. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Yes. Which means that don't live your life to possess things. Yes. Some people, their dream is to possess more houses, more cars, more of this. Sometimes when I look at footballers, so he has 10 cars of this, that. Then, I mean, one day I saw a guy, you were showing his watches, wrist watches, collections, and there were five of them at a cost of 4.5 million pounds. Watch. Yes. I said that when you are even walking, nobody cares what watch you are wearing. Nobody cares. But they have, because they haven't found Christ in a certain way. So they think their life consists of possessing things. You use things, you don't possess them. Yes. If I have money to buy a private jet, do you think I'll buy? I'll just use private jet. I'll never own it. Yes. It will take the life, your life. Do you know what it means to own a private jet? You need a hangar. Do you understand? You need maintenance. You need this pilot. You need this. I mean, it's a whole world on its own. It's Wahala. Yes. But rather, and you don't need to fly every day. But as the thing is lying there,
yeah.
You are paying money, millions. So if I need, I just, Charlie, I need a fly for 10 hours for it, and I go. But not to possess it. Yeah, Jesus is a wisdom you must learn. There are some things you don't need to possess. Yes. Yes. Use them. Yes. Use them.
Wow.
These are higher wisdom from Jesus. He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness. The desire, covetousness is the desire to have more. The desire to have more. He said, be careful of that desire. I want to have more. More this, more money, more cars, more this, more that. He said, that thing. Beware, be careful, take heed. It's a warning. These are the words of Jesus.
Wow.
Take heed. Take heed means, give us another version. Change the version. He said, beware. Guide against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Life is not measured by how much you own. Life. So life is measured by something else. Yes, life is measured by something else. It's not measured by how much you own. So we need to find out what then is life measured? Yes, we have to find out. This particular thing is not what you think it is. That when you have more things, say you are approved by God. It's like, yeah, I'm living a life. This is a life. When you see Christian, they're like, wow, he's living the life. Because he has many houses, many cars, many much money. He receives $7,000 every week. $7 million every week. This is the life. Huh? Yes. I want to be like Jay-Z. Beyoncé. They are living the life. These are your dreams. Life is not measured by how much you own. Yeah, that's why you don't have to own too many things. Bible says, having food and raiment, let us thereof be content with. If you have food, clothes, a place to stay, be content. It's okay. Do you understand? Yes, it's okay. You don't need to have too many things. Some people don't even know how to live a life. They can't even enjoy even something God has given to them. They want to rather possess more things. It's a sad reality.
It's a sad reality.
So, God wants us to see the ministry that he has given to us. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. That must be your focus. And you will see that at the end of your life, you'll feel more fulfilled. Yes. You will not die a miserable death. Amen. You will never say shame to life.
Amen.
Yes, shame to life. Shame to life. Shame to life. That was somebody's last word, a rich man, one of the kings or the queens of England. When he was dying, he said, shame to life. After having all the things that people are dreaming about, this is what he says, shame to life.
Shame.
Because it can never be that life is just about acquiring things. It can never be. It can never be. How much can you acquire? And how much can you take with you? When you die, everything is over. You leave everything here. Yes. Just because of fine protocol that they put clothes to cover you. Because people will come and look at you. But really, you die naked. You take nothing. Yes. Yes. Let's read some scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Yes, Timothy was a young guy that Paul was saying, but godliness with contentment is a great gain. DC, verse 8, verse 7. Having food and raiment, let us derive content. Verse 9 says, but they that will be rich. No, go back. 6 verse 5. Let's start from verse 5 and see. Yeah, for we brought nothing to this world, huh? For we brought nothing into this world. Let's start from verse 6 again. But godliness with contentment is what? A great gain. When you are godly, do you see? And you are content. All you need in life is not to be covetous, not to be greedy, content. It's like, I have basic things of life. I'm okay. I have a place to sleep. I have food to eat. I have water to drink. I have something to wear. It's finished. It's okay. Verse 7. For we brought nothing to the world. Did you bring anything to this world?
No.
You came naked.
Naked.
Yes. And it is certain that we can carry nothing out. These days, some people even die and they say that when I die, bury me with my Mercedes Benz. Yes. Some people are buried with things now. But it is certain that you carry nothing out. If we go and dig the place after 5 years, we'll still find the things lying under the ground. You can't take it. Yes. I saw one rich man, they buried him with a lot of dollars. Millions of dollars. Yes. If you search on YouTube, you'll see some of these videos. But we can carry nothing out. You are only deceiving yourself. We can carry nothing out. People are buried with gold and diamonds. Yeah, that's why I know some country that begins with alphabet G. Yes. When they bury rich people in the night, they go and exhume the body. And remove their golden rings and diamonds. Yes. And then, because some of these, they buried them with gold and diamonds and different things. This year. And then in the night, they go, gold diggers.
Yes.
But these ones are called grave diggers. Yes. They go and remove and steal. Yes. Because you can't carry them out. Stop deceiving yourself. For we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Then verse says, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Amen. Verse 9. But they that will be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. So it's even dangerous to be rich. Yes. If you don't have a good heart. That's why Real true riches is an entrustment. Yes, true riches. God has to see that it will not destroy you. Some of you, God is not ready to prosper you in a certain way. Yes. We will not see you in church again. Yes. We have to wait. God is waiting to see that, Charlie, your heart is fully for him. Yes. And that when he gives you money, you will not be destroyed by the money. You would rather use the money as a weapon against Satan. Yes. So in Luke chapter 16, verse 11, he said that if you have not faithful with the unrighteous mammon, with the worldly wealth, we shall commit to your trust true riches. True riches. So true riches are an entrustment. God has to trust you with it. Yes. God has to trust you with it. You have to, God has to see in your heart that, I can give millions to this sister, millions to this brother. He will never become proud. My goodness. He will never change to become something funny. And that he will still serve God. He will give money to help missions and church buildings and support the work of God and do so many things for the kingdom of God. Yes. But if your heart is not right, and they give you £1 million. Some of these brothers, girlfriends. Today it looks as though you don't like girls. It's because you cannot afford. You cannot afford. You cannot afford. Yes. You cannot handle them with your £500 a month. And today you are not under pressure. The girls are not coming around because you don't have anything yet. But the Bible says a rich man has many friends. So when you become rich, you have a lot of many girlfriends. When you are there, they will keep coming. They will keep sending you messages and all that. If you are looking for somebody to love you, look my way. Look my way. Oh, look my way. They'll be coming around. Yes. That is why you have to work on your heart. Yes. And God would work on you and allow you to go through different changes of life until your heart is fully sold out for him. That whatever he gives you, it's just something to encourage you, but not something to define your life and to change you and to make you. Oh. You have to die to money. Yes, you must die to silver, die to money. That money should not... You see, money is a type of God. That's why I said you cannot serve God and serve mammon. It's a type of God. It controls you. Do you see? It controls, it tells you what to do. It becomes a master. And then makes you a servant. It tells you where to go, where not to go. Stay here, you can't go here. It directs you. Uh-huh. But you can get to a place in your life where now money is not your master. God is your master. Your decision is based on God. They are giving you a job, and that job will never allow you to come to church on Sunday. It will never allow you to be a Christian. And they are offering millions or thousands of pounds. You say, listen, I don't want it. Amen. Yes. I remember when I went to Mozambique as a missionary, I met a certain woman from UNDP. UNHDP. You know? He said, I want to offer you a job. You are going to do this. You'll be traveling to Switzerland, $5,000 a month, It never became even a prayer topic. Like I'm going to pray about it. This is 2007. It never became a prayer topic or even something to go and think about. I said, oh, I don't. I'm not here for that. As if I was looking for money, I would never come to the most poorest country in the world. Mozambique was the most poorest country in the whole world when I went there. Now they are number six. So we are coming up. One day we will be the richest country in the world. Yes. Huh? I said, if I was looking for money, this is not the place I would come. I would have also joined people in the UK and America and those places. At least there you get something, something small for the boys. You'll be okay. You have something small. Amen. Yes. So money, riches, is an entrustment from God. God has to trust you with it. God has to look into your heart and say, listen, I can give this to this guy. It will never change. Like Abraham, God tested him. He said, take your son, thy only son, Isaac, and offer him to me as a burnt offering. Do you see?
Yeah.
And God said to go to mountain Moriah, which was a three-day journey, an old man. Three-day journey, no car, no airplane, no nothing, just walking. An old man in his hundreds. Then he goes climbing mountain. It took him 3 days. And put Isaac, the child that he's been waiting for years, and now he had it. God said, kill him. As soon as he was about to kill him, God said, no. It was just a test. You've passed this test. I wanted to see whether you are willing to anything. It's like what meant so much to you is nothing so far as I'm concerned. And he said, now I have seen how you love me. You see, until you pass that love test, God cannot trust you with money. That you love him with everything. You love him more than money. Yeah, you love him. That's why God asked Peter. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than this? Like his business, fish business of money. You know, do you love me more than your money? Say, yes, I love you more than, but I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Because they have left the ministry and they have gone out fishing. And the Bible says that night they caught nothing. And when Jesus came, he said, oh, throw the net here. And when they threw it there, they caught fishes. Immediately he said, this must be Jesus. And they started rushing and coming around. Because you see, real riches come from God. Yeah, real riches. God can bless you financially that you don't even know what to do with the money. Yes. But you see, he wants to see what is in your heart. He wants to see that nothing can separate you from the love that you have for him. Not money. No amount of money can change your heart towards God. He wants you to get to that place. So that is why it's dangerous for people to have money when their hearts have not fully been sold out for Jesus. So that's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, listen, they that will be rich in this world, it's not an easy thing. Go back to 1 Timothy 6 verse 9. They shall fall into the temptation. Yeah, you've never had certain temptation because you don't have money. Yes. Hey. There are some temptations, they come because of money.
Wow.
Yes. Some of you husbands, you think you are faithful to your wife. Yeah, until you get some money, wild money comes into your life. You'll see that hair, the kind of bottles that will be flashing in front of you. You'll be shocked. Yes. You found it tempting and a snare. Snare are traps. They are traps. It's only when you have money that those traps will come. Yes. And hateful lust. They are lust, a feeling of lust, desire, sexual desires that will hurt you. Do you understand? Yes. And it's all because of money. Yes, money is very strong and it's very wild. So you got to be careful. Yeah. Which drum men in destruction and perdition? Verse 10, you say, for the love of money. The love of money. Because God wants you to love him. Not to love money. Is the root of all evil, which many have converted after they have erred from the faith. Convert yourself. Those who desire to have money, it makes you err from the faith. Probably you are not a Christian anymore. Because Sunday you are looking for money. You know there are some jobs, if you go on Sunday, they double your salary. Yes. Yes. Three times. Some people, three times. Some places. It's an attempt to let you err from the faith. Yes. And not only that, you pierce yourself with many sorrows. Yes, money can pierce you with many sorrows. Yes. But in verse 7, but thou, O man of God. Are you a man of God?
Oh, yes.
He said, don't follow money. But flee these things. Flee what?
Flee.
These things. The love for money, flee from it. And follow. He's giving you. You see, you flee to follow. When you flee from it, and the thing will catch up with you again. Yes. You flee sin to follow after righteousness. You flee fornication to follow after God. Be a center leader. Have something you are chasing every day. Else, it will catch up with you again. You don't flee to stand. You flee to follow. But thou, O man of God. This was Paul said. Thou, O man of God. Timothy, you are a man of God. These are the things you must follow. Follow righteousness. Yes. Choose the right things to do. Follow godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, humility. This is what you must follow. This is what you must choose. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So, God has not called us to be chasing after money and material things. But God will rather give you. That's why Jesus to the disciples said, listen, you guys are of little faith.
Yeah.
You are seeking for food. Something to drink. Something to eat. Something to wear. He said, this is what the world is looking for. Say all these things do the Gentiles seek after. Gentiles, unbelievers. This is what they seek for. And your heavenly Father knows that you are in need, you have need of this. Of all these things. God knows. God knows what has done. Riches is entrustment from God. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. So then now let me give you what you must seek for. Instead of seeking for money and seeking for all these things. Seek. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom. The heavenly calling. And his righteousness. And all these things that people are dying for, fighting for, killing for, God will give them to you.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
God is the one who will give them to you. Don't seek for it. Rather, seek for God. Seek for heavenly vision. Seek to be involved in the things of God and be a minister of reconciliation and represent God and be restoring and reconciling people to God. Those are the things your heart must go after.
Yes.
And all other things. 1 Timothy 6:17. We didn't finish 1 Timothy. Verse 17. He said to Timothy, now warn those who are rich in this world.
Okay.
The rich people in the church. Warn them all. That they shouldn't trust in uncertain riches. First of all, they should not be high-minded. They should not be proud that they have money. These are Christians that God has started blessing. These are Christians, people in the church that God has started blessing. Like many of you, God is going to bless you. God is going to give you money. Yeah, but you see, when you are blessed, be very careful you don't become arrogant and you don't become proud. You don't become high-minded. Now, when Bishop Steve is calling you, he says, oh, you send a message, Bishop, I'll call you again. You know, I'm busy, I'm dealing with some issues and some clients and... Nor trust in uncertain riches. Yeah, riches is called uncertain. Uncertain because they can disappear. One time. Yes. It's uncertain. You can't trust it. You can't. Not to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You think God doesn't want you to enjoy life? God can give you things to enjoy. Yes. God can give you a wife to enjoy. A husband to enjoy. Some of you, God has given you a husband, a wife to enjoy, but you're always quarreling. There's always tension in the bedroom. God gives things for us to enjoy. As the Bible says, live joyfully with the wife of your youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 8. Live joyfully because a wife is given for you to enjoy. It's for enjoyment. A husband is given for you to enjoy.
Enjoyment.
Yes, it's not for wahala.
Wahala.
Yes, look at it. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of thy vanity. Yes. Life itself is vanity. Yes. But it's like, because that's why you must be happy. Yes. That's why you must be happy. You know, one day I went to a wedding with the prophet. It was just the two of us and his driver. A big wedding, they invited him in. And I had opportunity to be with him. So let's go together. Big wedding. Expensive, nice wedding. Even the place where they had the wedding. Very expensive. So when we're coming by, I said, Daddy, is it necessary to spend so much money like this for a wedding? This wedding will cost thousands of dollars. Then he said to me, that, listen, Apache, the way life is, the Bible says there's a time to laugh and there's a time to mourn, a time to weep. So our lives are in seasons. There can be a season of your life where there's a lot of laughter, happiness, but you can also find yourself in a season where there's a lot of weeping, because as you are growing, you see that your mother is dead. Your father is dying. Your sister is in pain. The people that you have loved, have cared for you, you see them suffering. You see them dying. So you be crying. Some people even, they lose their children. They lose their spouse. So then he said to me, when you find yourself in a season where you can be happy, do you see?
Yes.
And you can afford. Number one, you can afford. And number two, it can make you happy. Number three, it is not a sin. Enjoy. Yes. I want to repeat it because a lot of people don't know how to enjoy life. Yes. If it can make you happy, you can afford, and it's not a sin. Enjoy it. That's simple. If you can't afford, it's different. Then you can't afford. Don't go for a loan. But you can afford. It will make you happy. And it's not a sin. Enjoy it. Because God giveth all things. He giveth us all things to enjoy. That's what he was telling Timothy. We must trust in the living God who giveth to us all things to enjoy, richly to enjoy. God will give you things to enjoy.
Amen.
Yes. That's why Jesus said that don't seek for those things. God himself will give you. Your heavenly Father knows that you are in need of all these things. He knows. Rather seek the kingdom first. The heavenly calling. The ministry of reconciliation. Represent God well. Let it be your focus. Seek in all your seeking. Seek the kingdom. Anything that you can do to represent God on earth very well. That's what you must seek for. Including the anointing. Yes. Seek for it. And leave the rest. God will add them to your life.
Amen.
This is the highest form of wisdom. Is to seek God. Not money. Not things. Mm? And God himself.
Amen.
Yes. So God wants us to make full proof of our ministry that he has given to us. So everybody here has a ministry. Yes. And I pray that by the time we are ended this camp, you'll be more serious to fulfill your ministry.
Amen.
Be more serious, more committed. More serious and committed. Amen.
Amen.
Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Thank the Lord for saving you and giving you a ministry. Yes, thank him. First of all, he saved you. He thought of you, saved you, forgave you, showed you mercy, forgiving you for all your mistakes that you have committed. I would say, he who saved us, he saved you from your sins, saved you from your many mistakes, and called you. He didn't just save you, but he has also called you. Called you with a holy calling, with a special calling, a heavenly calling, calling that is not earthly, healing, calling that is from above. Oh Jesus, he has not called us unto failure, he has called us unto greatness. Oh, we are partakers of the heavenly calling. What an honor. 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 Marakata bushikara brandaya karabrabaya. Rebaba sikara balabu shikara brababaya karabra. I barabara da zikara babu shikara brababa. I barabara da barabara brababa. I barada da barada barabara barabara. Ayakara Barabara. Yeah, Barabara. Yeah, Barabara, Barabara. Yeah, Barabara, Barabara. Ibarabara, Saving us and choosing us and giving us a holy calling, a heavenly calling, and making us your representatives on earth as ambassadors of your kingdom. We are grateful. We are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seat.